Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we have an exclusive interview with Senator Marsha Blackburn, who has some very compelling takes on our relationship with the Chinese Communist Party and how she has actually irritated them enough where they want a meeting, and you'll find out whether or not she is saying she'll take it. This is a very important episode for anyone that wants to understand what's going on with China and the Chinese Communist Party, especially moving forward post the Chinese coronavirus. But before we go any further, type in the Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider right now. Take out your phone, Charlie Kirk Show. Good. You see that subscribe button? Hit that subscribe button. Scroll down, 5 stars. No cost, big impact for the Charlie Kirk Show. And also email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Honored to be with you today with the one and the only and the incredible Senator Marsha Blackburn from the great state of Tennessee. In the midst of this Chinese coronavirus pandemic, her leadership has been amazing on the issue of China. And I want to dive into many different questions and complexities of how we are going to get the Chinese Communist Party and China to pay for the damage they have done to our country. So first of all, thank you, Senator, for joining us today. And please tell us what you are working on in regards to holding the Chinese Communist Party accountable.
Oh, Charlie, I am so happy to be with you and your listeners. One of the things that we know is it is going to take all of us working together to finally deal with China. And as you're aware, I have worked on this issue of China with their intellectual property violations, the way they've stolen our entertainment and written works, content, the way they have tried to force Huawei, their telecommunications company, into our system, because that is how they are using, they're using Huawei to build a spy network. And I've also spent time raising the awareness. Every one of these Chinese companies are, guess what? They're state-owned. And who is the state in China? It's the Chinese Communist Party. So as we look at coronavirus and COVID-19, as a way to pivot toward action, there are some steps we need to put in place to make this an orderly process. First is Senate Resolution 553. I have it in the Senate. Congressman Jim Banks has it in the House. And this is a sense of Congress resolution, which would send the message to the Chinese Communist Party and their leadership that we know they caused the COVID virus. They did this by hiding information, by lying about what was happening. They were not transparent. They would not give us the viral sample to work from. When we asked them for an active pharmaceutical ingredient, they said, well, we may hold back on that. We might not give it to you. And then they changed their mind and decided to give it to us. Then they said, oh, this is all caused by the U.S. military. Then they decided they would begin to expel journalists. So in that resolution, we say, we recognize all this, and China, you are guilty of having taken this virus, allowed it to spread, and caused this global pandemic. The second thing that we would do is to end these Confucius Institutes that are on the campuses of many of our universities. And, you know, some of these universities, thinking they were teaching a different culture and allowing these Chinese professors, quote unquote, air quotes, professors, they're actually spies onto these campuses. And this has all come to light. Let's end it. If you take taxpayer money, you can't have a Confucius Institute. The third thing, have China waive all of the payments related to the debt, our U.S. debt that they hold, which is over $1 trillion of our debt notes that they hold. They should waive their payments on that, because we don't need to be sending them one thin dime. because of the trillions of dollars they have cost our economy. And then the fourth thing is to bring manufacturing back to the United States. And that is as we look at recovery. And my legislation, the SAMC bill, would bring that U.S. pharmaceutical manufacturing back. It would incentivize institutions of higher learning to team up with pharmaceutical companies and look for advanced manufacturing practices. It would incentivize companies that are manufacturing in China to move that production back to U.S. shores. And of course, we've heard Larry Kudlow from the White House, the economic advisor, actually talk about this week. And we think there is a good way for moving forward on that. And the last piece I'll mention is Senator McSally and I have pulled together a piece of legislation, and this is the Stop COVID Act. What it would do is allow U.S. citizens to be able to exercise a right of action against the Chinese Communist Party. And we would do this through the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act and U.S.
Yeah, that we used against Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
Yes, that's precisely. Right. Sure. We used it against the Saudis. And so it allows you to go through the Immunities Act because of a biological agent. And COVID-19 would fit that, and that biological agent. And we know DOJ has already filed terrorist charges for weaponizing COVID-19. So McSally and I are pulling this together, the Stop COVID, and that will allow U.S. citizens who have suffered or died from COVID-19 or lost their business from COVID-19 to have that right of action in U.S. courts and to sue the Chinese Communist Party.
When running a business, you know HR issues can absolutely kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and more. HR managers are not cheap. As you know, an average of $75,000 a year. Bambi, which is spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day all for just $99 a month. I can tell you the HR that we have at Turning Point USA has been benefited from the service Bambi. Month to month, no hidden fees, cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/Kirk right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/Kirk. Spell BAM to the BEE.com/Kirk. Well, Senator, I first just want to say thank you. I know it is difficult to take a stand against the Chinese Communist Party because so many of our duplicitous transnational companies have made an unholy partnership with the Chinese Communist Party and they want a free pass. So thank you for doing this. And there's so many other individuals in the media and in the highest levels of our government that seem far more focused on appeasing the dictators of the Chinese Communist Party than doing what's right for our country. One thing I want to contribute, and I sent a note to your team about this, and I was made aware of this last summer, which is an effort to try to hold China accountable with some of the leverage we have over them, which back in the 1920s and 30s, prior to the Communist Revolution in China, the Chinese government went to America and sold bonds to help them build roads and bridges and infrastructure, equating to nowadays dollar of over $1 trillion of bonds that Americans hold of Chinese debt. Now, when the Chinese Communist Party took power, they said, well, we no longer assume the liabilities. Well, you and I both know, Senator, that you can't take over a country and assume the assets and then just act like the liabilities don't exist. Sovereign debt does not disappear just because you want it to. Maggie Thatcher, when she was prime minister, and I know you're a big fan of the Iron Lady, she actually came to terms with the Chinese Communist Party in the 80s and got them to pay a piece of it, essentially settled with the bondholders. I think it's a great piece of potential leverage that I'd love to have you explore that we have over them. I mean, there's $1 trillion of Chinese debt that we own. Yeah, I'd love to have you hear your thoughts on that.
Yes, we have talked with the bondholders group, and we are certainly, we have that as one of the things that we could do is we explore recovery and accountability. And this is one thing for all of your listeners, realizing China has to be held accountable for this. They are not our friend. And when you talk Amen. About the new axis of evil, China, North Korea, Iran, Russia, these are people who are not our friend. And you have seen that China feels like they can exploit the rest of the world. Now, when you talk about the bondholders and that sovereign debt, yes, I really applaud Thatcher for the fact that she moved forward with that. And we have never been able to achieve a resolution with them. And for those families that still own that, they hold that paper, having yes. China repay that. Look at what China has cost us in this. When you talk about loss of life, loss of livelihood, Charlie, it's trillions of dollars. You look at the devaluation of the stock market, of our different economic sectors. You look at what has happened to small business, to Main Street business. You look at what has happened to large employers. You look at what has happened to families that are sitting at home and are in desperate need of getting access to funds to meet their monthly obligations. And China has caused this because they hid information, they lied to us, they were not transparent. They even tried to blame this outbreak on the Italians when people said it wasn't the U.S. military. We all know, and the entire world now recognizes, this all started in Wuhan, China. It most likely started in one of their labs. And China now is again trying to say, oh, it was not us, when there have been concerns about those labs expressed going back to 2014, and not only by us, but by some of our allies. The Canadians also were expressing their concerns. And now the Chinese have even moved in, since everybody is saying, China, you did this. They're trying to go in and sanitize the internet and different postings. Their foreign ministry blocked me on Twitter. Their embassy has been writing our office. They are seeking a meeting with me so they can call me out and tell me where I am wrong. And the news is, they're not going to get a meeting. I am not wrong. I am right. And I'm going to stay on this so that they are held accountable for what they've done.
Well, God bless you for that. And I mean, we need more leaders with courage. And so, Senator, I do want to ask a question, which is about just your other colleagues that I see. And not most of the Republicans, I have to say, have been terrific on this, which is not always the case. You know, I'm critical of both parties, but I think Republicans have really been holding the line. I am concerned, though, that it seems that the Democrats are perfectly fine with the continual enrichment of the Chinese Communist Party. Can you give our listeners a little bit of hope, maybe, that both parties can come to agreement, that we need to treat China like the great enemy they are, that we need to treat them similar to how we treat Iran or Russia, with a much different approach with trade, with military intelligence? The fact that they're blocking you on Twitter, I mean, these are very, very aggressive, hostile actions from a regime that pretends as if, you know, we're their friend. Can you give us some insight into whether or not the Democrats are going to come along with this? Because I want them to. I want a unified Congress to stand up against China. I don't consider this to be a Republican or Democrat issue. Some insight into that would be really helpful to our listeners.
And I would say for your listeners, pay attention to what you buy and where it is made, because we need to adopt the mindset that what we're going to do is quarantine China. They have basically had most of the world and the economies and people of 180 nations quarantined. And then they have been so aggressive that France tried to buy PPE from them, and they said, we will sell it to you if you will take Huawei as your 5G equipment provider. Mm-hmm. They're trying to still make a buck on this. So for all of your listeners, pay attention to where things are made, because bringing manufacturing back to the USA is a great way to send a message. And it's not just pharmaceuticals, which I'm working on. It is also with our telecommunications, with electronics, with PPE, with some of our consumables. Let's bring more of that production back to the U.S. so that many of these communities in the Midwest that have been hollowed out because they lost manufacturing, the old Rust Belt, wouldn't it be great to see some of this manufacturing come back in?
Oh, and there's so many people looking for work, Senator. Absolutely. I mean, especially with the 17 million people out of work right now, why are we giving that sort of labor contracts to the Chinese Communist Party when we have, I can't imagine how many Tennesseans right now are anxious because they don't have jobs or they're out of work because of seasonal industries. And I've called for the total pause and moratorium on visas until we get back to pre-pandemic levels. And I've come under a little bit of heat for that. But I tell you, Senator, there are 5 million new young people that are entering the workforce in a couple weeks as they're graduating. And I know there's a lot of great students in Tennessee that are as well. And why would we give jobs to people that we did not invest in for many, many decades that are not our own citizens, especially the amount of manufacturing potential? So please finish that thought. I somewhat interrupted you. I'd love to comment more on the manufacturing side.
Right. And I just so agree with you. And for those that are listening to this podcast, if you were sitting in a room with 1,000 of your fellow college students, and I were speaking to you, and I said, how many of you would like to move back to your home community or to a city very close to your home community, but a job is not there? I bet you 75% of the hands would go up. But so many people leave their home communities and where they grew up simply because there are no jobs. So bringing this manufacturing back and making our nation competitive is a great way for us to make certain that we are never held hostage and vulnerable and needing a pharmaceutical ingredient and can't get it. Having a country that took all of our jobs and sent to us and the rest of the world a virus, we need to be smart about this. And as we come out of this recession, then we need to think past coming the restart and think about recovery and think about the future and how we really rev this economy back up.
Coronavirus fears, canceling worship services, the U.S. Constitution and COVID-19, depression and social distancing, how to keep yourself and the kids happy through quarantine. Listen to A Christian Response to Coronavirus on the Issues Etc. podcast. Just go to issuesetc.org/COVID or look for Issues Etc. in your favorite podcast app. A Christian Response to Coronavirus. Issuesetc.org/COVID. Issues, etc.
And so, Senator, I want to go back to one of the points you made, which is actually a project that, it's so funny. Two years ago, I created a website called China on Campus, where I profiled and I listed all the Confucius Institutes across the country. And quite honestly, you were running for office back then, but it was really hard to get people to pay attention to this. People thought China was a threat. They didn't think of them as an enemy or as essentially where they think of them now. Now there's a lot of interest in the Confucius Institutes. And so, Senator, I know that University of Tennessee closed their relationship with the Confucius Institute based on what I have read publicly. But according to what I've read publicly, and I could be corrected on this because these are changing very quickly, Middle Tennessee State University has not closed their Confucius Institute. Are you working on that? Are you demanding the closure of it? And could you give our listeners an update on the Confucius Institutes in one of my favorite states, the great state of Tennessee?
Right. And I have legislation that would remove these from the U.S. for institutions that take U.S. taxpayer money. And we are encouraging every university to shut these things down, because what they're doing with these, as I say, air quotes, visiting professors and air quotes, professors in residence, these are nothing but spies. And what they are doing is taking your information. They are helping China build this spy network, and they are not there on a cultural exchange. They are there as members of the Chinese Communist Party. They are there at the behest of the Communist Party-led government in China.
Well, I agree, and I've seen this firsthand. Why on earth would a Confucius Institute, quote-unquote, cultural exchange program need to have server rooms that could basically compete against our biggest tech giants? And I kid you not, Senator, you go to some of these Confucius Institutes, they have massive amount of tech infrastructure, and the students that are there, it's been proven they are the sons and daughters of the Chinese Communist Party elites. They are part, there's a lot of questions around what's been happening there. And I agree, I completely agree with you. I think that we need to demand immediately that every single Confucius Institute is kicked off the campuses of U.S. universities. And with that, also, there's other questions of foreign influence on our universities as well. But we can focus on China, of course, for the time being, because it's amazing how our universities have been corrupted. I want to ask another question about the Immunities Act, Senator, because this has received some pushback by some individuals in the Senate who they say, well, this will be a slippery slope. I don't agree with that. I think that if you use the Immunities Act as we did against Saudi Arabia and the Saudi Arabian royal families and their connections to 9/11, which I believe passed, I don't want to say unanimously, Senator, but it passed pretty decisively when it came up to the United States Senate years ago when President Obama was president. I could stand corrected on that. How would this work technically? So if someone listened to this podcast, for example, Senator, had a family member or a business that went under because of the Chinese coronavirus, could they potentially join a class action lawsuit if this passes the Senate? How would that actually work?
Yes, it would work much like it did with the 9/11 families. And if we were to pass this, then it opens up that category under 18 U.S.C. 178. And then DOJ takes the lead role in this and then opens that foreign sovereign immunities section to individuals who lost that. So it would be very much like the things I would encourage them to watch what had happened with the 9/11 families and the way they moved forward. But this, when you look at 18 U.S.C. 178, the COVID-19 fits into that category. And so if we were to eliminate the sovereign immunity on China because they spread this as a biological agent, then you would see families be able to work through DOJ, bring their claim, take it into court for litigation, and then sue the Chinese government. And that would be done, all handled through DOJ.
That's very well explained. And also, Senator, some of your colleagues in the House, but more obviously closer proximity to you in the Senate, have critiqued the president for halting funding and defunding what I call the Wuhan Health Organization, but also known as the World Health Organization, the WHO. What do you make of this? And do you think that it's time that we do reconsider our funding of the World Health Organization and their behavior towards America and the West and their role in the spreading of this killer virus?
Well, absolutely. The WHO is complicit in believing and spreading the lies that China was being transparent. They were not transparent. They were hiding. They were hiding this. They wouldn't give us the viral sample. They said they may withhold a pharmaceutical that we need. So I would take it a step further than just the WHO, which is the World Health Organization. China is requesting a seat on the UN Human Rights Council. China should never be a part of the Human Rights Council. Today, they just had to change and increase by 50% the number of people that have been killed by this virus in Wuhan alone. That is how far off their numbers are. And we know they've been lying about their numbers. So now they have upped it yet again. We also should look at what they've done to the Uyghurs, who they persecute every single day, 24/7, 365. China is an enormous human rights violator. They're communists. I mean, when you look at what China has done to the global economy, Why would we have them as a part of the WTO? All of these global organizations, to which China wants to be a participant so they can say they're a world economy, they're a global leader. We need to review their standing in every one of those. And until we do, we should withhold our funding from every single one of these groups.
Well, I completely agree with that. I know we only have a couple of minutes remaining. One of the things that I always struggle with, Senator, is that I do believe that we should have harsh sanctions on Iran, and I believe we should have sanctions on Russia. But why we excuse China from the conversation of economic penalization and we just continue this free flow of goods, I think can only be attributed to the fact that we have a group of elites that have gotten so unbelievably wealthy at the expense of the American people. And I have driven through the wonderful state of Tennessee and all across the Midwest and the South. And it is so sad when you take the back roads and you see empty factory after empty factory of places that used to be vibrant communities, whether it be outside of Knoxville or Murfreesboro or anywhere across Tennessee or Kentucky or Indiana. That part of the country, especially, Senator, was disproportionately impacted by our miscalculated relationship with China and the Chinese Communist Party. And in return, we got fentanyl, opioids, and garages full of garbage. Senator, from your constituents and the people you're talking to, do you feel that there has been a wake up to the Chinese Communist Party and China? And do you think that there's going to finally be the long overdue reckoning that is needed against the threat that they pose to the United States of America?
I do think there has been a wake up. I have been contacted by dozens of Tennesseans, and many times the conversation is something like, Marsha, I never believed you when you would talk about the evils of China and when you would talk about Huawei and when you would talk about the intellectual property theft. And I never believed it was as bad as it was. But what they've done to us, this is reprehensible. And this is why people, when they go to the grocery store, they are flipping over containers and seeing where products are made. And if it is stamped made in China, they're putting it back. They're saying, you know, I don't want another dime out of my pocket going to the Chinese Communist Party. I had someone the other day who has been a business owner for years, has about 50 employees. And the business owner said, I wanted to be sure I understood exactly what I thought I heard you say. Did you say that the Chinese Communist Party, the state takes an interest in or owns every single company in the country? I said, yes, I did. And they had never thought about it. And they had looked at different times at manufacturing in China and decided not to because they were afraid of intellectual property theft, but never had thought about it as the Communist Party using this as a vehicle to fund their activities. And Charlie, it is that kind of awareness that I think people have come to, that if you're doing business there, you are funding the activity of the Communist Party. If we are not managing our budget and racking up debt, and China owns $1 trillion of our debt, we are sending U.S. taxpayer dollars to the Chinese Communist Party. People know it now. They are aware of it, and I think you're going to see some habits change.
Amen. Well, Senator, and the other part that I always say is that as a free trade person, I have to say that one of the lies that we were told as free traders for years is that the more we trade with China, the more Western they will become and the more open-minded they'll come to America. It's been the opposite. That has been a lie that a lot of the think tanks in Washington, D.C. peddled very nicely worded pamphlets. And I even re-referenced some of them the other day on the podcast where I was reading stuff from 2010, 2011 is, you know, the Renaissance in China is coming. You know, they're going to soon be like Hong Kong and soon be like the Philippines and Singapore. And it's been the exact opposite. Actually, the more money we've given these tyrants, the less free they have become and the more Orwellian. But Senator, any other closing thoughts you have on this important topic and China and students in particular? What can they do? Obviously, the purchasing is a very important thing that you mentioned, but any other closing thoughts would be great as we wrap this up.
You know, I would encourage all of your turning point audience to do a couple of things. Number one, stay in touch with us. They can follow everything we're doing on China and other issues by following us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and going to our website. And then secondly, I want them to remember, as I've said so many times in front of your offices, the most important network for news right now is the YOU. And we want them to remember that they are the ones that can help educate their friends. So forward good articles and good information and help educate their friends, because people are paying attention right now, and that is an opportunity. So your audience, get busy with this. Let's win this battle.
Amen. Well, Senator, God bless you. Thank you for your courage. I know it's a tough fight, and there's a lot of institutional, let's just say, adversaries that want to see us continually get weaker and trying to get stronger. And thank you for being a strong voice for our country. You'll be rewarded politically and otherwise for your courage. So God bless you, and we got your back. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Charlie. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
What a great episode that was with Marsha Blackburn. As she mentioned, Turning Point USA. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. You can start a chapter, get involved, chip in some money, tpusa.com. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And please take out your phones. Type in Charlie Kirk Show. Hit subscribe. That helps us continue to surge in the charts. You guys got us to beat Joe Biden in the last couple days. Let's beat him. Again, email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you for rating. Thank you for subscribing. God bless you. Talk to you soon.
Hey, I got a new podcast coming. It's called Theory.
Don't you know?
This is Theo Rossi. Our world is changing. For many of us, it'll never feel the same. The important thing to remember is that we are all in this together. And that's some of what I want to talk about on my new show, Theory. We're going to discuss the things that no one ever does. The real talk, the sacrifice, and the struggle that everyone goes through. My life has kind of put me in a unique position to see things honestly. This is Theo Rossi, and my new show, Theory, launches on April 8th, officially on Spotify, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts.